What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning in into episode 72 of the Dental Marketer Podcast. I hope you're enjoying your weekend. It's Saturday over here. I'm enjoying it. It's about 100 and something, but it's cool in the studio today. So it's a nice weekend. It's going to be a nice day. What we have on the agenda. First, I want to mention, guys, go in the show notes below. If you don't know how many new patients you're attracting weekly, click on the link below to download a free custom report. You fill out the checklist, and then you can see how many new patients you should be attracting weekly. And yeah, that's my gift to you. So go ahead, download that, check it out. That way you can set a goal on what you should be doing. Also, thank you so much for the feedback on the consulting services, guys. I'm there to give you guys everything, my all strategies on ground marketing specifically, but on other internal marketing and other things you can do as well to attract new patients. So thank you so much for the feedback. That service is still up and still going strong. Just go on the website, go under services and click on consulting, and you'll see a video and pretty much all about it as well, my consulting services. Other thing I want to mention is sometime this week, all our studio computers received, I don't know, some type of virus or something that literally like toasted our hard drives. So they're gone. All our hard drives are gone. And I was like, I was so distraught because all the information and previous podcast episodes that I had recorded were on there. So right now they're all being... the information and, you know, all that stuff is trying to be recuperated as we speak, which it should be recuperated, but it takes some time. So I apologize for the ones who are listening who are like, no, I recorded with you. It might be put out on a later date. With that being said, thank you to the lifesaver, Heidi, who is going to be the guest in this episode, Heidi Mount. She actually taught me how to use Zoom, and then she recorded it, the episode, this episode on her end. And so I emailed her and I was like, hey, Heidi, you know what? Can you please send me the recording? Because this happened. And lifesaver, she is a lifesaver. So she is the one who sent me this recording. That's why you kind of hear on my end, the quality is not the best, but that's okay because her quality is fantastic, and you need to listen to the information she has to tell you, because her information, she's dropping valuable knowledge bombs everywhere. We answer so many questions you guys ask, like what is the biggest mistakes you see that dentists do that hinder their practice from growing? What is something dental practices can do to increase profit? What is an example of something that you can say to motivate patients to say yes to dental treatment? And what is the best piece of advice that you have that can simplify or accelerate or completely change your practice, the listener's practice, in a positive way? There's so much she gives you. She's not just like a consultant, guys. She is a life coach / mentor / best friend / for you guys. Like she, all I know is that the people who do work with her love her to death. I'm so happy to share it with you. I'm so happy that she took the time to be on the podcast. Listen to this episode. Take notes. Very valuable information. Also, don't forget to check out the consulting services that I offer. Like I told you, just go on services, click on consulting, get all the information there. Also, don't forget to listen to the Monday morning marketing episodes. This past one was about relationships. Very important. I'm not going to say much about that. I want you guys to go listen. It was like 5 minutes long, so go listen to it. And with all that being said and done, let's see what Heidi's up to right now, and let's actually see how she got into consulting and helping dental practices succeed to the fullest.
All right, well, I started off as an expanded function dental assistant in 1989, worked for some awesome dentists, a couple decades as a dental assistant and an office manager. And throughout that, getting to know other office managers and dentists, people were always asking for help. How does Heidi do this? How would you do this? Coaching kind of all along throughout the years, and then decided to become a virtual consultant. So I am coaching internationally over the computer, just like we're talking now.
So that's nice. You kind of get to work wherever you want and things like that, right?
Yeah, just need a computer.
Just need a computer and Wi-Fi. So what made you want to start doing this? What were dentists requesting, the majority of the dentists requesting from you?
Yeah, so I found that a lot of dentists that were calling the office were having the same issues, like how do you set up systems? How do we work more efficiently? How do we hire the right people? How do we sell treatment plans? How do we get patients to say yes and gain new patients, retain patients? How do we have patients, you know, getting them to schedule seemed to be a common challenge.
Okay. And so why did they go to you?
Because I make things simple and I've been working inside the dental office so the staff could relate to me. It's hard when you go to dental school to become a dentist. You're not quite sure, well, what should the assistant be doing or what should the hygienist be doing? How does this work? How do you get it to flow? How do you, you know, how can they focus on dentistry and not so much micromanaging or trying to fix the staff issues?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. That is good. That is good. And then you mentioned setting up systems. What systems did you start off with that you were like really good, like you were a pro at, and then people started, you know, started snowballing from there?
Actually, let's see. I would start with treatment plan case acceptance, getting paid the schedule. A lot of times there's that Swiss cheese schedule. You can't figure out why 1 month you're making a killing and the next month you're hardly making anything.
Yeah.
Staff's hours are being cut, overhead's too high, things like that. So how do we keep that hopper full, properly review the charts, and get patients to say yes to the schedule?
And so I guess let's just like dive into it. How do you get that? How do you prevent that Swiss cheese type of schedule?
Actually, most of it comes from being consistent. So what happens is we get really busy and the focus gets wrong. And so you're focused on just doing, you know, clocking in and doing what's on the schedule. And what you don't think about is how much time do I need to spend to keep that hopper full? What am I going to do for next week, next month? How am I going to fill that half hour? How am I going to schedule so you make a certain amount per day per goal? So for example, a common problem that I would see is somebody would wonder why they only made $1,000 in a day or $4,000 in a day when they really want to make more like 8 or 10 or 20, you know, in a day's schedule. So how do they do that? Well, what happens is employees are just filling the schedule, but there's no focus on how they're filling the schedule.
Yeah.
So there's lots of philosophies, you know, block scheduling and what have you. People have different ways of scheduling. And the main focus is to know how much you're going to make per hour. And so instead of saying, you know, I just want to fill the schedule and make sure there's patients coming, doctors get really frustrated because they either have, you know, no one there or five patients waiting, or they're doing a bunch of things that are no production, which means you can't collect. So the focus is teaching people how to properly schedule.
Got it. You mentioned consistency is the key. What are some techniques that the team or the dentist can practice to maintain that consistency?
In my opinion, it would be clear, defined job descriptions and having people focus and be responsible for certain key metrics of the practice. So some people don't know what a key metrics is, and that would be a way to measure. It's a number that you measure how much it's bringing back to the practice. Okay, so cleaning out your desk and filing and organizing and dinkering around doesn't add to the practice. We do need to clean stock, order, and things like that, but there has to be a focus, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we want people that are collecting over the counter. You know, we want 98% of the collections being actually collected. So it's one thing to make the money, but now you've got to collect, you've got to build insurance, you've got to collect what people owe with the deductibles and their patient portions and things like that. You know, all the way down to seating your patients on time. You know, whether it's getting the hygienist to pre-schedule their appointments so that you don't have to chase the patients down and they're unscheduled or not coming in when they're due. All about holding people accountable for specific jobs. So you have the clear job descriptions, but you're following up with who's accountable for what, because everyone should be cross-trained. In other words, everyone knows how to fill the schedule. Everyone's trained on how much time the doctor needs for that procedure, where it should go in the schedule, how to meet the financial goals and things like that. But how do we hold the team accountable for making that happen? Because if everybody's doing it, if everyone's confirming and then someone didn't get confirmed, who's accountable for that, right? Mm-hmm.
And then, like, there might be people, or there is probably people listening, and they're like, this is great and all, but even if they do schedule before they leave, and even if confirm their appointment, there's still quite a bit of patients that no-show, right? Or last-minute cancellations. I guess, what can we do to minimize that?
You probably hear that a lot. Dentists complain about that. Yes. No-show and cancellations are a huge frustration in a lot of practice and can be avoided. So, you know, staff need to understand that for every 15 minutes or hour that's unscheduled is equal to like $100,000 a year. So they've got to know how much they need to produce per hour and what it costs them when it's not filled. So patients no-show or cancel because they get away with it and they're not trained. Flat out, they don't value your appointment. Mm-hmm. How many times do dentists hear, or front desk, they'll hear, you know, I double book myself, so I have to go to my hair appointment. You're like, really? Your health is more valuable than the hair appointment. Because they know if they don't show for the hair appointment, they can't get those gray roots dyed out for another 3 months because that hairdresser's booked, because people pre-book and things mm-hmm. like that. So why do they do that to a dental office, right? It's because they don't place value on your reserving time with you and the doctor. Okay. So when patients understand what they're getting for the procedure, that you're saving their teeth, you're preventing periodontal disease, whatever, when you're expressing it in a way that means something to them, they'll show up.
Mm-hmm. And so how can a dentist place value? Like, we know we have to educate the patients. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times, I guess, we think we're educating them, but we're really just kind of talking in dental terms. You know what I mean? Yes. But I mean, how can we educate the patient? I guess not educate them, but motivate them or drive them to actually say, hey, you know what? Like, my teeth are important.
Yeah.
More important than my hair appointment. Like, is that possible, or does that take years and years and years?
Oh, no. People can learn it in an hour. You know, you just get some coaching and get some mentoring and learn as much as you can on how to present treatment plans to your patients. Don't talk dentish. Patients don't understand that. So, you know, first, you got to build a little rapport with your patients and learn mm-hmm. what they want and what's important to them. Okay, so you're finding out what their goals are. Where do they want their mouth to be in 5 or 10 years? What's important to them? So, for example, what if you have a patient that calls the front desk and says, you know, I have this tooth. I think I need an extraction, and I'm freaking out because my mom had a partial denture, and I don't want a partial denture. You know, it was always flopping around her mouth or whatever. So she has her motivating factor, right? It's, I don't want a partial denture. Well, if the front desk doesn't communicate that in the morning huddle or what have you, and bring that information to the team and document it in the chart so we know it forever, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say you're going to confirm for them to clean their teeth. And it, you know, it's a simple cleaning, let's say. You would be saying to them, you know, I know how important it is for you to save your teeth. So we've got to clean your teeth every 4 months or, you know, whatever. We've got to do this to prevent, I know it's really important for you not to wear a partial denture. So let's get this done. Okay. Instead of saying she just needs a cleaning, you know, that's the staff, their communication. They just need this. It's no big deal. Like, oh no, they're just booking you with the hygienist. It's got to be made more important so they value that appointment and they show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I remember I was in a dental office and they were kind of doing my prophy for free. But then I heard next door them saying to the patient, you know, you have active disease. And the patient was like, what? Active disease? What does that mean? And then again, and the last interview I did, one of the office managers mentions that too. So, like, also, I kind of think, like, the key words we say to the patient make it important. If you just say, like, hey, you have a periodontal disease, you know, you need to get that fixed. You're kind of like, I don't even know what that is, I guess, you know, but if you tell me, like, hey, you have active disease and it's growing and it's like everywhere. You're like, ew, you know what I mean? Like, I kiss people with this mouth. They're like, you know what I mean? I eat with it. Ew, you know, you start thinking about what you ate last night and you're like, I don't know about, I should get this fixed. So keywords, I also think is important, especially what you said. And we mentioned about the schedule. How far back should someone look at a schedule when they see, because you know how a schedule falls apart, right? So how far back should someone start looking at a schedule?
Do you mean how far forward? Or
yes, I'm sorry. Okay. How far forward? So say it's like the dentist just looks at next week and that's it? Or does he have to look at a month from now or 2 months from now?
Right. So obviously we care about today, right? Mm-hmm. Every hour counts. It better be scheduled to goal. I always recommend that people look at least a couple days ahead when you're actually talking about reviewing the schedule. For example, you may have a patient that's on a blood thinner. Okay. So the patient's going to show up for their extraction or their cleaning or whatever. And it's like, what is their INR numbers? Oh, we were supposed to get that number from the person who draws their blood every month. Maybe that doctor needs to adjust or have them not take the medicine the day of service. So now we found out they're on blood thinners and we try and get the results and they're like, oh, I haven't had my blood checked in 5 weeks. Well, now we can't treat them. So boom, there's a cancel in the schedule that we need to fill. Or the patient shows up, you're discovering it all now, you're calling the doctor, you're trying to find out what their INR levels are at to see if you can treat the patient so they don't bleed out at your office. Finding out right then is another cause for a hole in the schedule. Now we're sending them home, all because somebody mm-hmm. didn't look 1 or 2 or 3 days ahead of, you know, a schedule. Now when you're talking about looking ahead, making sure you're reaching goals, you know, it's really simple. You look ahead a week or two, and let's say you want to make $5,000 a day, and you see out of your 8-hour day that 90% of your schedule is full, and you have, you know, whatever, 45 minutes opening or whatever, and you're only at $1,400 for the day. Well, something got really messed up. Somebody booked that day and did not schedule to goal. We've got to look ahead and fix it. What are we going to do to add production? Or maybe you have, you know, 20% of the day booked and you're at, you know, $6,000 booked. You booked a really nice, you know, quadrant dentistry right there or what have you. Mm-hmm. Well, you've already made goals. So maybe right there you can, you know, do some consults and do some lower productive things because you've already made your goal. Okay. So the doctor really has to design how he wants the data flow. Some people do not want to do a bunch of anterior fillings and meticulous work at the end of the day. Their eyes are tired. They're looking through loops. They're working in things that are 2 millimeters, 3 millimeters. It can mm-hmm. stick their eyes. So the doctor has to design what's best for him. Some doctors want to do all the surgery in the morning or whatever. But what I find the problem is a lot of staff do not know how to book the schedule. So for example, they might have a 90-minute appointment, and the opening is from 10 to 12. Mm-hmm. And that person, the patient says, yeah, let's see, I'll do my hair appointment. I can come after so I can see you at 10:15. So they book that 90-minute appointment at 10:15, and now they have an opening from 10 to 10:15 and, you know, 15 minutes at the end. So it's like, okay, well, what can we do in 15 minutes before and after all that? So we're letting our patients take charge of our schedule where you just say, I'm sorry, you need to be here at 10:30. So I can put, you know, some, you don't tell them that, but in your mind, you're thinking, I need that half an hour to put production in that half an hour. So it takes a front desk to be trained on how to properly schedule, or it's kind of a disaster if we're letting the patients dictate, you know, and you're going back and forth. Can you do this time? Can you do that time? How about this time? How about that time? So the staff really need to know how to lock it in and schedule according to what works best for your business.
Mm-hmm. And do you think like the front staff kind of goes along with the patient sometimes because they're afraid to lose the patient? Like say, for example, you know how you mentioned, oh no, I have an appointment. I'll be there at 10:15. The patient says that, right? Yeah. And the staff's like, ah, it's just 15 minutes. Okay, sure. Why not? I'll see you here in 15 minutes. If we were to say, no, it has to be at 10 and the patient, you know, maybe might say like, I can't.
Yeah.
What could be the follow-up for that?
Well, we find a time that works well for them, but you know, you bring up a good point because a lot of staff do say that, well, that patient won't come any other time or this or that. And it's like, give me a break. You know, they have the time they know show and we're giving them whatever they want. So you mm-hmm. will find that staff want to be liked and let the patients dictate where, you know, to schedule and things like that. So we've got to take control of our schedule and say we have this time or that time. You know, this is when the doctor does that procedure. If you think about the medical field, if you've ever had any sort of surgery, there is no telling them what time's best for you. They literally, I mean, sometimes they will just leave you a message saying your surgery's booked for this time, or the doctor will do your next surgery or this or that at this time. This is the only day and time they do that surgery. And you know, we don't get a choice. We have to rearrange our schedule around it. So we have to run our dental office like a business. And, you know, we have to have them pay for the services we provide. We have to see them with what works best for the office, the whole team. And so, you know, patients learn to adjust. They learn to accept what you offer. And you just have to be excited and tell them, you know, what you expect from them.
Yeah, got it. And so what's the biggest mistake you see dentists do that hinder their practice from growing?
It would probably, well, it would start with not having a vision, a mission statement, core values, you know, developing your brand. You know, to me, that's like no detailed written out business plan. You're just kind of winging it, you know? Yeah. They're trying to keep their head above water. They've got staff turnover. They can't figure out why they're seeing frustrating patients who don't want to pay and only want to do what insurance covers and things like that. So just define your purpose. That's what great practices do. They begin with defining their brand, and then that's the heart and soul of their business. And that's what represents them. And that's what they make all their decisions off of, right? Because if you're going to say, you know, we're going to have a caring, a comfortable, unique practice where we treat people like family or whatever, and then you have staff, you know, running down the halls and yelling out stuff or just respecting each other, that's not the brand, and it's probably the wrong team. So you know, you wouldn't have abrupt staff, you wouldn't have hygienists ignoring periodontal disease or people afraid to offer ideal treatment. They would be saying exactly what they say to their own relatives. You know, I really think an implant would be best because that's what I would refer to my sister and things like that. So I think hiring people in, you know, I have a whole course on ownership mentality, but you know, hiring people with ownership mentality is the key in my opinion. You know, they want the practice to grow just as much as the dentist. They understand the budget, the cost of using the gloves or the amount of floss they pull out. You know, they make sure the entire family's pre-schedule, not just the patient they're seeing. So, you know, they're willing to compliment other coworkers, or everything's a win-win-win. It's a win for the office. It's a win for the patient. It's a win for the staff. And that's kind of what I like, is I like everything to be a win-win-win.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. just you mentioning that made me realize every successful dentist that I've interviewed on this show, they all say, when we start off our day in our morning huddle or afternoon huddle or whatever, right? They say, how does this correlate with our mission statement? How does this patient correlate with our mission statement? How does it, so for example, say you want to be like the most gentle in town or dentist in town, right? And you say, we're the most caring dentist in town. How does that correlate with Johnny B, who's booked at 9? And how does, you know what I mean? So to me, it kind of just clicked, you know what I mean? Like, it is true. Branding is extremely important because not only does it differentiate you from the competition or anything like that, but I mean, it sets you as an authority in the community, but it also, you know, guides your whole culture and your whole team and your whole vision, your practice and everything.
Exactly. And so many patients aren't, or so many doctors are not even having a morning huddle, which is so key, because even if your morning huddle, because most morning huddles are read what's on the schedule, right? They're just going 8 o'clock, we're seeing Susie Q, we're doing adult prophy, bite wings, x-rays, whatever. And it's like, everyone can read. We have computers. That's not what the morning huddle should be about. But you're right. If you do point out something to do with your brand, you could maybe hold some people accountable for that. Like, how, what is one thing you can do to be caring to the patient if caring's your brand, right? Like, somebody could go, you know, this person always comes in with a walker and they're holding a purse and they're fumbling with all their stuff. Why don't I will walk that patient all the way to the car? I will carry their, you know, jacket or help them along to make sure they safely sat in the car. And I'm going to tell them to thank you so much for seeing us. It was so good to see you today. Like, adding that extra wow, I think just means so much.
Yeah. And you're right, because I feel like lately we've been so obsessed with measurements and metrics and numbers that we forget, like, we're still in the people business. Like, you know, people is our main target and people have emotions, people, but it's not our fault, because in the century we live in, you know, social media, everybody's on their phone, everybody's doing everything on their phone, and everybody's so caught up on conversions, range of, or like, you know, our ROI, are we converting and things like that. But we're not really thinking about like the small things like that, which you mentioned, as far as making a huge impact. And to that, back then, I mean, it still would have been nice, but it's like more, back then I feel like it was more like, okay, you're supposed to do that. Now it's like, oh, wow, thank you so much for helping me all the way to my car, carrying my purse, you know? And that makes huge impacts as far as, you know, marketing and everything, just branding your practice. So, yeah,
yes. I do. Yeah. Yeah. I remember a lot of people asking me, they're like, how in the world are you an international consultant? Their dentistry is done differently, you know, in the UK and Australia and different places. It's just totally differently. They can sell both, you know, do Botox in the office and things like that. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't need to know what you're selling, because, well, I do need to know what you're selling to help you sell it, but it doesn't matter what type of dentistry you do. People are people. And since I've been in dentistry for 20, 30 years, nothing's changed when it comes to people and the way they schedule and want to schedule in your practice. So yeah, hiring the right people, you know, deciding on what are the traits of your team, right? Like, you don't hire any queenies.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need any of those, but you know, we're hiring people that are on the same page as our brand.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That's good. They have good attitudes. They're an everyday A player, you know, they focus on their own performance, not anybody else's. Maybe they're a strong sense of family, you know, or a good listener. But you've got to write down the traits of your team and have the team agree. Mm-hmm. This is the way we act around here, and we all agree this is the way we act around here.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And so what is something dental practices can do to increase profits?
Well, get role play and get the communication skills down. Role play with each other. Maybe write down three questions that patients have asked you and listen to how people respond and help each other improve on what would be better. But, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I need scripts. I need scripts. Scripts don't work, right? Like, scripts are guidelines. Now you have to, you know, you have to Michaelize them, right? I call it Heidi-ize them. The way I talk is not the way somebody else can talk. I can tell you that when I was in dentistry, probably 98% of my patients bought and paid for treatment, the treatment that we were offering. And we did offer ideal treatment. I offered the first option of actually doing nothing. You don't have to do anything. And then I went into what I was offering them. But you have to know what they want. You can't just say you need a root canal. They're not going to buy the root canal. So, you know, having some scripts to help motivate the patient, you know, oh my gosh, I'm very concerned. I see a crack in your tooth. If this breaks, we might, you know, not have the ability to fix it later. You know, I know you don't want a denture like your mom, or you don't want to lose that tooth. But if this breaks in the wrong direction, especially under the gum, then you might need we might need to replace that tooth. You're going to need an extraction. Things are going to cost more. It's a longer process, you know, or whatever. So, you know, I'm very concerned that this would get more expensive for you. But you want to just lay it out, tell the truth, get the elephant out of the room, make sure you have a financial option that's easy. So front desk, so many times what I see them do is, you can pay, $1,000 down, and then you could do this Care Credit thing or Lending Club or whatever, you know, here's this third party agency. And if you pay $250, then you would owe $400 a month. But then, you know, they're laying all this paperwork. But then if you do $500 now, you can borrow over 24 months and you can only pay $50 a month and we can get that done and blah, blah, blah. And it's so confusing. Like, why not just ask them what's your budget and then just tell them the solution? It really should be that simple. I think we overwhelm our patients with information all over the place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've got to really simplify it. Train your team on, you know, how to respond to all the different situations so they're confident. Because if they're saying things like, I don't know, or I'm going to have to, you know, do a pre-authorization, you know, pre-denials are kind of the nickname for those. But, you know, we want to make sure that patients do not let insurance dictate what they need. Insurance companies are in business to make money. They don't care about your health. So we've got to educate our patients in a way that means something to them to get them to value dentistry and their health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right. And so I like how you said, for example, you gave us an example right now of saying, oh, you have a crack in your tooth. And if you don't, I know you don't want dentures like your mom. So you need to get it fixed. To me, that tells me, like, you know, you have to know your patients. Like, you really, and so that's what I think a lot of the people, not a lot, I always say that, but it's not a lot. That's what I think quite a bit of dentists get confused. They want like 100, 200 new patients a month, right? And that's fine and nice and all, but I mean, do you know your patients already right now? Like, do you know if they have you smile surveyed them and maybe they don't like the color of their teeth or they don't like the shape of their teeth or they're having headaches, you know, because of maybe their malocclusion. I don't know, you know, for some certain reasons, like, do we know our patients? And if we don't know every single one of them, like, let's get to know them, because that way you're so much more is going to be open up and then they're going to say, you know what, I do have my bite hurts, or you know what, I'm always biting myself, or I've always wanted to fix my teeth, but I just never, you know, had the time. I always have to jet out of here. When can we, you know what I mean? You talk to your patients and that's going to produce obviously a lot of production and collection. So before, like, I would think, I mean, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I would think before looking into, hey man, Michael, I need to start attracting like 300 or 200 new patients a month, right? Like, hey man, let's look at your patient base right now and let's see where we can expand from there.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Back in the 80s, everybody used to talk, the dentists, the office managers, the sales consultants, they'd say, how many patients do you have? And that would kind of, it's kind of like how much is in your stock or how much do you, how much is in your equity, whatever. It was a status thing to go, how many patients do you have? And some people would have 1,000, other people would have 5,000. And the funny thing is, it doesn't matter if you have 100. I have one client that probably had 60 patients at the time. And it's like, you know, it doesn't matter how many you have. It matters what they buy. Because if you had 60 patients and they were each spending $50,000, it's not a big deal. You're set, right? So the amount of patients doesn't matter. It's just like the amount of new patients you have coming in. Unfortunately, the statistics are, you know, you might have 4 phone calls come in and your front desk can only convert one of those. And then when you get them in the chair, so now you've got one person in the chair. Well, the average dentist is only able to close 30% of the treatment plans. So now it takes 4 patients in the chair to close one case, right? So your numbers of, that's why they want new patients. They don't want new patients, literally. They want the production. So why not get your staff trained so you can actually close at a higher case acceptance rate? Yeah. You wouldn't need 100 patients a month if you could, because, you know, the people that want 100, they're only closing 33%, 33 patients. So we've got to be able to convert patients, and how you do that is attract ones that you like, attract your ideal patients, attract ones that make you happy. Nobody wants a frustrating patient who yells about their bill, right?
Yeah.
Or only wants to do what insurance covers and things like that. So pick who you want to attract and market to that, which is what you do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you also mentioned, mentioning like asking the patient, what's your budget? Do you recommend we should ask them after we present like the price, the full price, like, hey, here's $30,000. What's your budget? Or do you think, hey, what's your budget? Even though you see that production was like around 30,000.
Right. So us in the field, And using the software, it's a lot of work to do a full chart note. It's a lot of work to type up all the different options and link them together. So when they pick one, the others go away off the list. And, you know, why spend so much time typing up all the different options? Why are they doing that? They're doing that to lay out a bunch of papers. One's $2,000, one's $20,000, one's in four steps, one's all at once. Too many options. You've got the implant option, the bridge option, the partial option, whatever. It's too much typing. So in my opinion, you can document that in a chart, the options you gave really simply. You know, I would narrow it down to two options. And so how are you going to type up or present two options if you don't even know what the budget is? Mm-hmm. So to me, it seems like find out what they want and then just say, what's your budget? It's nothing wrong with that. When we go to buy a gift, when we go to buy a car, when we go shopping for a dress, you can show up and there's, you know, especially like Nordstrom's, they have all the different sections. You could buy a $60 dress, you can buy a $6,000 dress. So you walk in and you say, look, you know, I have a family reunion or I'm in a wedding or whatever. I'm looking for a long dress, this or that. And what's the sales rep going to say? What's your budget? There's no point in showing you a $6,000 dress when you can only afford $99. So we've got to do the same. It's simple business. You say, what is your budget? What can you afford? And they're going to say the exact answer. They're going to say, you know, I'm getting a tax return. I have $3,000 coming in on this date, and then I can afford $200 a month. Okay, sounds like we're going to be offering some third-party financing, right? Mm-hmm. Or they're going to say, oh, you know, I have it. You know, if you give cash discounts, I'd appreciate it. Whatever. So find out what it is and then just close it up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's good. And so that is really good because I think a lot of people have trouble with that, you know, like presenting it. And then after that, they say, oh no, I can't afford it. They're like, okay, well, we'll put that in a recaller. You know what I mean? We'll follow up with you or something.
Yeah. Then, we gotta keep it simple, but then follow up. Don't just drop it. If they're like, nope, I only want to do what my insurance covers, or nope, I can't afford it. Well, you know what I ask if they say I can't afford it? When can you afford it? When is the last time you invested in yourself? You know, you've got to follow up with more questions for them to think, for them to plan, for them to decide, for you to follow up. How are you going to, you've got all these patients that are flying out the back door because there's no follow up. Mm-hmm. That's the number one problem in the office. It's just like you're saying, you deal with the patients that are already in your schedule, right?
Yeah.
Why do you need 100 patients? You probably have, if you ran a list, an unscheduled treatment list or an inactive patient list or whatever, most staff is just calling saying you need a filling, and that's not going to work. You cannot activate a patient making those phone calls, telling them what they need to schedule. Nobody wants to be told what to do, right?
Yeah.
So we've got to figure out how are we going to communicate with these patients to actually show them you care and to keep them in the practice.
Yeah, you're right. And so, do you think do you run into a lot of front office that kind of like assume, they say, oh, I already know they can't afford it. Like, I know their budget already. And then they don't really just try. Like, does that ever come across your way?
Actually, probably about 80% of people in the entire office believe something like that. We've had, even just watching it in dentistry, you know, a farmer come in.
Yeah.
You know, and he had throat surgery. I remember this one patient, he had throat surgery because he was snoring. He put all this money into his mouth and he was piecemealing it together. And so his bite didn't fit right. It was just a mess. Mm-hmm. And we had no idea he was a millionaire. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he did full mouth construction and everybody was like, oh no, he can't afford it, whatever. Well, he just never told anybody. Yeah. I've had lots of patients like that we had no idea they had any money.
So never assume. Same thing in marketing. You never want to assume. Like,
well, and there is the little old lady or certain patients. It probably happened to me a couple, two, three times a year where, you know, people are in the back would say they never can afford it. I said, you know what? They always complain about their bill. They're 70 years old and they think it's so expensive. I remember a little old lady going, I cannot believe how much this dentistry costs, blah, blah, blah. And she would happily write me a $5,000 check.
Yeah.
Like, she just had to complain. And so you're like, you know, it's a great investment. You're going to receive XYZ. Here you go. You're excited. They pay. And it's no big deal. Like, this person came back for 20, 30 years. So some people, you just got to accept their personality and do your job the best you can.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. And so what is an example of something you can say to motivate patients to say yes to dental treatment?
An example? Well, you know, just using what motivates them. If they want to look like, you know, have a nice white, bright smile, they want to look 10 years younger, whatever their reason is, you've got to motivate them by having, you know, before and after photos. Those mm-hmm. work fabulous. And I actually have 10 secrets on increasing tomorrow's schedule on a website. You just go to www.coachingdentist.com, and dentist is singular. So coachingdentist.com, and you could just grab those, and there's a whole printout that you could just apply tomorrow. But you know, you want to, you know, just present what they actually asked for. You know, I want to look younger. I'm a speaker. I travel a lot, you know, and you just say, you know, I know you wouldn't want this to happen when you travel. You wouldn't want that toothache to be flaring up with you up in the sky. Or, you know, patients will tell me, you know, I'm going where there's no dentistry. You know, I travel wherever, if it's Africa or somewhere where there's not too much dentistry in their location. Mm-hmm. And they should, you would reiterate, you know, let's take care of this so it's not a problem when you go down there, because it never fails that when your tooth breaks or it's a toothache, it's not ever a convenient time. It happens while you're at work, happens while you're traveling or moving or what have you. Yeah. So let's prevent it and help you not have an issue later.
Yeah, that's good. And so what's the best piece of advice you have that can help my listeners simplify, accelerate, or completely change their practice in a positive way?
Oh my gosh. I just think in life in general, you have to live life on purpose with a purpose, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is good advice. I like that. What's something you recommend no dentist should ever do that you've done before? And you said, you know what, this is a strategy that probably is never going to work or shouldn't work.
Boy, it won't work. Something that won't work. I just think spending your money in advertising all in one area is probably something I wouldn't recommend. Or, you know, really sometimes patients, or I'll have dentists say, you know, oh, I got so much off that flyer. You know, I'm not, you know, like, let's say they spent $4,000 on a lit up sign. And then, they spent $99 on some flyers that went out. And then they say, oh, I got so much return on the investment off those flyers, whatever. And then when you really look at it, it's like every single patient came in for the free exam or whatever, and nobody bought anything, right? Mm-hmm. And they spent $4,000 on the lit up sign, and the patients reported they came in because of the lit up sign, and they bought $20,000 worth of work, and you only got one patient. You know, maybe they're saying, you know, I got a ton of patients on the flyer, and that is the best, that worked the best. But they didn't really look at the numbers to go, they didn't get anything, no returning patients, they worked for free. So yeah, they gained 100 patients off that flyer, but there was no good return on the investment. Where mm-hmm. if Ryan brought in one patient who spent, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars, then the sign worked better, right? So I think making sure to analyze your numbers, know your numbers.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That is important, because you're paying attention to what is actually happening, right? Like, I mean, that's the thing when you talk to a dental practice and you kind of ask them like, okay, so who's your ideal patient? And then they kind of say, you know what, everybody with teeth. You're not going to get everybody. You know what I mean? So if you try to market to everybody, you're really not going to get many people or anybody that you want. But if you really focus on a niche, when I've worked with practices who just say, you know what, we're just going to do implants and veneers, or we're just going to do, you know, something cosmetic, just ortho. They're booked out for like 8 to 10 months of new patients, just people wanting to come in, and they're making a lot more as if a general dentist who were to accept everybody, you know? So you really have to hone in. And when you hone in on your niche or your target market, then you can do proper marketing. You know what I mean? You know who to market to, you know where the avenues and the mediums you need to use to market to them. So yeah, I do agree with that, because a lot of people kind of just, you know, do those flyers and throw them out everywhere. And then at the same time, people post all their services on the flyer, like every single service, you know.
Overwhelming.
Yeah. And I just put a post on Instagram about that. Like, don't do that. Don't put every single service, because people only remember the first part and the last part of a list. Everything in the middle is like, it's not, you know, you're going for memorability, not people to forget stuff. So you just mainly want to post the main stuff.
Keep it simple. You want white teeth?
Like, yeah.
Just one simple little catchy phrase.
Yeah, exactly. Got milk, like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's super easy. So
yeah.
things like that. But going back to your piece of advice.
Live life on purpose with a purpose.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
Pick and choose. Like, have a purpose. So enjoy every moment. Like, pick what is your purpose. Why do you do what you do? If you're a dentist, why do you serve who you want to serve? What is the reason you're a dentist? It's not to drill, fill, and bill. What is it? Right? So, you know, we all have to pick why we are, just basically choose life purposefully. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I'm out there trying to help dentists save some heart tissue, right? I want them to not be so stressed. So, and you know, why? Because that's fulfilling to me. That, you know, I have my own dreams and goals and I have a focus on why I'm doing what I'm doing. And so I think every day we should have a purpose. We should appreciate life and, you know that we can't compare to somebody else's life, right? Things would only be better if I was like that person or if I had my house paid off or if this or that. Like, just live life on purpose and just know that you are making an impact out there. I don't know.
No, you're right. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Like, live, enjoy the journey. You know, we're so obsessed sometimes with getting to like the end goal, but
right.
Like, once you reach an end goal, then what? You got to make another goal, or you just, yeah. Is it dopamine? Right? It's dopamine where it's just like instant gratification. Like, that's why when we receive a text message, we get that dopamine shot. It's ding. Oh, we got, and we stop what we're doing. We think we're great at multitasking, but in reality, we're just great distractor. Like, we just get distracted so easily. So we're ding, and then we're training our concentration. Anyways, we're going off topic, but I do agree with you. Like,
dad used to make fun of me. He's like, you have lists for your lists. It's like, well, I believe in breaking it down to make it happen. You know?
Yeah, no, you're right. Like, and I need to work on that. I need to work on being like super organized. Like, I admire people who are like you, who are super duper organized, because I mean, you know exactly what you want, when you're going to get it, how you're going to get it. You know what I mean? Like, everything
we all have that. And what did I do? I had to focus. What are the top three priorities I need to get done today? Schedule it, make that happen. Forget the rest.
Top three priorities.
What do you need to get done? And don't leave your cell phone off and get it done, because you'll realize you can get it done so much faster.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how many times do we say we're going to go organize the garage, and on the way, you threw in some laundry, you know.
Yeah. I just said that like a week ago and it's still not even done in my garage.
Overwhelming. So just pick one box or whatever.
Yeah, no, you're right. All righty, honey. Thank you so much for being with us today. It was a pleasure. But before we say goodbye, tell us where it is we can find you.
You guys can email me personally if you want at Heidi, H-E-I-D-I, at coachingdentist.com, or feel free to go to my website, coachheidimount.com, or the www.coachingdentist.com. Grab your tips, email me questions. I'm happy to help.
Awesome. And all those links will be in the show notes below. So for anybody interested, just click on the show notes below as well. Thank you so much, Heidi, for being with us. It was a pleasure. And we'll hear from you soon.
Awesome. Take care, Michael.
I hope everyone enjoyed that episode, got as much as I did out of it. I know a lot of you guys are going to get so much out of it, so much valuable information. We discussed defining your brand, the core values, the importance of branding, and your mission statement. Also, we talked about the ownership mentality, which I loved. Hiring people with this, you need to have your staff with this type of mentality, ownership mentality. That means, like, you know, they're going to take care of like your business just like it's their business, which is so important and so rare to find. So if you guys have that already, take good care of those employees. If you guys don't, then let's look for them. One company that can help you look for them, I know personally, is Stream Dental Staffing Solutions. Something else that Heidi mentioned that I really liked is role playing with the staff, as far as, you know, how to do case presentations and so forth. A lot of the times we maybe just might read a script and think we got to follow that script, and we don't add our own personality with it, or maybe we just don't even role play. We just kind of assume we know it, and when the time comes, we get stuck in that process and we're like, oh no, what should we do? Like, for example, when I podcast, sometimes when I'm going to do an introduction, believe it or not, sometimes I practice beforehand, rehearse, you know what I mean, as far as what I'm going to say or write down some notes. Same thing with role playing, especially when you're dealing with money and, you know, case presentations and patients who are, you know, maybe iffy about spending a certain large amount. You want to role play on how to present that case. She also obviously talks about better case presentation skills in this podcast episode. And what I loved is what she helped us understand is what to say when someone says, when a patient says, I can't afford it. We always feel like we're stuck. If somebody says, hey, I can't afford it, we're just like, okay, well then, you know, let us know when you can. We also do have other third parties like Lending Club and Care Credit. And then they kind of say, you know what? No, I don't want another credit card. And then we're just stuck, right? And we say, okay, well, we'll put you on a recall. We'll see where you're at maybe like in 3 months. We tell ourselves that. But what can we say? I like how she said, you know, well, when can you afford it? What's your plan? You know, are you just going to keep, is your mouth just going to keep deteriorating or what's going to happen? So much valuable information here. I hope a lot of you guys took notes or are going to take notes or just listen to it again. Yeah, thank you so much to our featured guest Heidi for being on this episode and sharing all her knowledge. Also, don't forget, I have my gift at the bottom. If you guys want to know how many patients you should be attracting weekly, just go below in the show notes, click the link, and you'll get a custom report. You got to fill it out, and then it'll tell you right then and there how many patients you should be attracting weekly. And now we can set a number, an actual number of how many patients you should be striving for. So let's do that. Also, don't forget about my consulting services. Just go on the website, thedentalmarketer.site, then click on services, then click on consulting, and just watch the video. And maybe from that video alone, you know, you'll get a lot of information. But you can always schedule a free 15-minute consultation with me, and maybe we can figure out your situation right then and there, or we can discuss further things. So yeah, just go ahead and schedule that free 15-minute consultation. It's also on the homepage where you can find that link or that button. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Twitter, guys. I'm always active. Actually, you know what? I'm more active on Instagram and Facebook. So follow me on Instagram and Facebook, and also Twitter. Instagram and Facebook is The Dental Marketer, and Twitter is TDM Tweeting. And guys, I'll talk to you soon.